This is RTR Reloaded. Tom Lacavera, Stewart, Laurie Anderson, Chris Cave, and Eric DeFrieden Screamer. Folks, we're back, and I'm going to probably have to step out very shortly, so I just wanted to see if any chance that we have John Lamb with us yet.
Oh, yes, I'm on here.
All right, awesome. John, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good. I've about lost my voice from all this going on down here, but I will do my best to try to hope you can hear me.
I heard that. And
get some honey.
I also saw that awesome interview that you had with that very aged old man that's coming out of the federal building. What a shame that was.
Yes, we had an exciting day today from several people are getting released down here today. And I've been following this 93-year-old Dr. Wessler case for quite a while. And he's 93 years old. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison, and he got released today. So we were all excited about that, and he gets to go home with his family.
What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. So why don't you fill us in? I know that Shauna was on earlier, and she told us a little bit, but I'd like to hear it from you since you're right there in front of the courthouse, and I'm sure you've talked to some of these folks. So why don't you tell us what your perspective is?
Well, it was an interesting day. We went to court like normal, planning on spending, all day in court. And the judge decided to have a sealed hearing. And so for the first 4 hours this morning, we were not allowed to be in there. No observers. It was a total secret court. And in that meeting this morning, the defense team proved the injustice that the government was doing. The lies that have been told, the discovery that's been missing for so long, and we still don't have all the discovery. And so the judge, the way I understand it, I was not in that room, but the judge, she scolded the prosecutors quite vigorously, told them because of all this new findings that she was going to order the release of these guys. So she, Ammon Bundy will get out tomorrow by her order. Ryan Payne should follow within the next day or two as soon as we get some stuff. And Clive and Bundy was also ordered to be released today, but he did not leave. Cliven refused to agree to any pretrial release and pretty much just stated that until the rest of the guys are released out there, or the rest of his boys and the rest of these guys, that he is not going to leave prison unless he's walked out a total innocent man.
Amazing statement to his character right there.
An amazing American patriot. Unbelievable.
Mm. I was sad for his family that was in the courtroom. They, a lot of them started crying. They wanted him home today, but it's not going to happen yet. He's still standing strong. And like you said before, whatever it takes, he's willing to do whatever it takes to stand there and fight for freedom and do it right.
Amen to that. It's just incredible. I spent a day with Cliven when I was at the ranch, and we took a ride out. I had to get up on the back of a four-wheeler, and he drove down this long little side dirt road along the river there, where he had these channels that he had, over the course of the years had dug out, and he uses to irrigate the field there for the cattle. It's incredible lush vegetation that grows up. And I asked him, I said, that water's freezing cold. Do you want me to go down? He had to open a valve, and to do it, he had to get down in the water up to his chest, reach down. And I mean, this man is when I hear people out there calling him these ridiculous names, this is a hard working, tough as nails, godly man who has never asked anybody in his life for anything. He wouldn't even let his kids take the government paid for lunches at their school. He wouldn't allow it. He's always paid his way. He's always paid his taxes. He's always done. This is the kind of person that you'd want to be. If I had to say if I was a young kid, that's what I want to be when I grow up. That would be him. He wouldn't let me climb down in the water. He did it himself. I filmed it. I put it on YouTube. It's called Clive and Bundy, A Hardworking Man of the Land. It's on the RTR Truth Media YouTube channel. It's incredible. I recommend everybody check that out. But you've gotten to know Cliven pretty well. And this just speaks for, this is a testament to his character. I know that Carol's got to be, her heart's got to be aching. We're going to be praying for them. So what do we have else going on out there? What's going on with, something going on in Portland as well, right?
There's, for Portland, so tomorrow there's another sentencing hearing for one of the other guys from the refuge that took a plea deal, and that's John Richtheimer. So tomorrow is his sentencing. It didn't happen today yet. That's tomorrow.
Okay, so we'll be watching for that as well.
Yes.
Well, your coverage has been quite extensive and incredible. You know, why don't you tell, I know that you've been on the show while I've been in, but I was in a vacuum in there. And I know that I have folks out there listening. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, your family, you shared with me when we were in the jail. You come all the way out here from Montana to cover this.
Yes. I think this is a very important trial for our freedoms and our liberties in this country. And this is, the world needs to know. The mainstream media is not reporting this at all. So I never intended doing what I'm doing. I came here to check these guys out, to meet them personally. I visit them in jails on a weekly, sometimes a daily basis. I don't miss any court hearings. I've got a little farm back in Montana with 11 children and my wife. So it's a great sacrifice what I'm doing, but I don't really look at it that way. I know it is, but I believe it's very important to do what I'm doing.
Well, I certainly agree with you with that, and I'd have to also say that when I was in jail, there wasn't very many times that I picked that phone up to call you, that you weren't there to be another voice on the other end there, and I know that you were praying for me too, and it made a big difference being behind there. I really appreciate everything that you've done for all of us. You know, God bless you and everything that you've done. I'm reaching the end of when I can be on here, so I'm going to let Lori take over the broadcast. I'm going to have to sign off, folks. And John, God bless you. I'm going to be I'm going to be watching and sharing everything that you do. And I just thank you very much. And for you guys out there, this is Tom Lacovara Stewart, Resurrect the Republic. Lori, it's on you now.
All right. So John, I know that you have a sore throat. Take a couple of teaspoons of honey for that. That'll help.
Definitely. I really need to. I'm going to have to rest my voice hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah, and that honey will help a lot. Don't mix it with anything. Just take it like in a teaspoon, two teaspoons of honey three times a day. It'll help you tremendously. Now, here's a question that I have, because I've read that one of the things that was, of course, not released by the government or covered up once again was those snipers that they had always claimed was not there. And from what I understand, there was proof actually provided in this meeting today to prove to you, Judge Navarro, that they were once again lying about that. Is that accurate?
It definitely is accurate. I tell you what, even as of today, every day we uncover more and more discovery, the information from videos to agents lying. Yesterday, a BLM officer lied, got caught lying on the stand. And this is just happening over and over again. And finally, the judge, she's backed up against the wall. She has to do something. And that's exactly what she did today.
Wow.
At the way this trial is going, I honestly do not expect it to make it till the end. I just I expect a mistrial, not a mistrial, but a dismissal of all these charges. But we'll see how it plays out. But the way it's going, it's looking more favorable for us.
Right.
Hey, folks, I'm going to jump back in real here just for 1 second before I sign out. There's a caller on the line, Tom in Utah. He's been holding for a while. Tom, are you still with us? You're on RBN.
When you mentioned Rod Class, by the way, I used to run Family Rights Radio with Rod Class, Carl Weston, Eddie Andrews, the group. And we had for a while online a video of the State Justice Institute, and I'm just wondering if you have connection with Carl or with Rod.
I attended a seminar in Texas with Rod that Rod Class put on, but I've tried to get a hold of him before I was taken into federal custody. I tried getting a hold of him a few times, and he's very hard to get a hold of. But I would love to. I'd love to have him on again.
Yeah, I do have in storage somewhere.
You're in contact with him, is what you said?
No.
I may have a little info on that.
It's Eric. I just wanted to encourage Tom to do everything he can and get whatever assistance you can from your family or friends there to dig up that video of the judicial convention where they were talking about how they're going to take down the Patriots. Is that what you're talking about, Tom? And what was the name of that website?
Right.
Yeah, now what was it? It's crucial because that's going to wake up the sheeple. What website was that on previously?
Well, it was on Family Rights Radio, and I think we have it under CDC.org or ConstitutionalDefenseCouncil.org. If you go maybe back in the archives.org, you know, you might be able to go back to about 2005, and they may still have it. 2005, and actually, our efforts was what caused the removal of Alberto Gonzalez. Remember, he was the attorney general?
The torture master, the guy that's okay to torture children. Yeah, what a great guy he was. He was under the Bush administration. He was a Republican. And by the way, Sovereign Man, if you're out there following us, by the way, follow this broadcast at freedomscreamradio.chattango.com. Sovereign Man, can you see about going back to the 2000 archives of, what did you call it, the Constitutional Defense Center, Tom?
Constitutional Defense Council.
Council.
Yeah, you might have to search in there. I don't remember how we had it, but we had the video up there, and it was open on the web. So hopefully archives.org captured it. But otherwise, you know, if you get hold of Carl Weston or Rod Class anyway, I'm really, how do you say?
Can somebody out there take that time and do that? One of our activist listeners, I know we got a bunch of them. Here's a mission for you.
Yes, we'll do something.
That video we need.
and you know, I'm still doing the battle for this. My issue, if you go to gasinamerica.com, at the bottom of that, you can get my phone number if you have any success. And you might even get Carl or Rod to call me. But anyway, go to gassingamerica.com, and my phone number's there. And by the way, when I talked to you before, I did not know that my website had been corrupted. It's now been remedied, at least, or fixed, as far as I can tell. So if you open that one up, you'll see another issue. And by the way, I've had to do battle in the courtroom, and each time I've had to prevail simply with the publicity outside the courtroom. If you can find that video, it's really powerful, and that exposes the criminality. You know, when I'm listening to that interview of the lawyers, I know right away they are not citizens, or they're not Americans. They are not Americans. They are members of the bar, and they're not talking constitutional anywhere in that meeting. I'm getting a lot of background noise.
We're going to finish the interview with John Lamb. Is there? Thank you for calling in, and we will look into that. You can contact me directly at lacovara@journalist.com. That's LACOVARA at journalist.com. And we can have a chat about that. We'll dig those links out, and we'll share them. I want to get back to John Lamb And I'm going to sign out and leave this to Lori. John, Lori, Eric, God bless all of you and good night. Go ahead, Lori, it's you.
Okay, so John, and I want to thank Tom for calling in as well. We are very, very tickled that Tom called in, and we look forward to that. Now, John, I was asking about the quote-unquote hidden evidence, and I call it hidden evidence or the cover-up, whatever you want to call it, that's exactly what they're doing. They're intentionally leaving out pertinent information that, of course, destroyed the whole narrative from the get-go of the Bundy rant. They wanted mainstream media to paint it in a certain fashion, in which they did do. They were successful in doing that to a point. But where it got messed up was alternative media, like Tom was there, other individuals, Pete Santilli was there, other individuals were there. They were recording, and people joined together in refusing to allow mainstream media to keep that narrative. Now, do you think that Judge Navarro is getting to the point of frustrated and angry, because even though, you know, she is not this innocent person per se, the point of the matter is she's even being lied to. So when they're exposing this truth in front of her, she's kind of caught with her pants down, I guess is a good way to say it. What do you think?
That's an ugly thought.
But, I mean, you know what I mean, because usually they want to know everything, even if they don't allow it to be seen. And now all of a sudden this is put up there, well, right here's the proof. Right here's the proof. What can she say other than get angry because she wasn't let known about that proof beforehand? What do you think, John? I don't know if John is on mute.
Well, I'm still here. No, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was hearing you there, so my voice takes a second to catch up again. I'm sorry. Barely have it. But, yeah, it was some of this evidence they've hid has been really very important stuff. And they've used this, they take a whole video that's, you know, 30 minutes long, and they'll cherry pick that video, and they'll use 3 minutes of that 30-minute video, and they'll twist it to their point of view. That's how the government's been doing it, and they've refused to play the whole thing. So with that, that's what we end up doing the last few days. We've played every bit of these videos to the judge that the government's been holding out. So
wow. Well, I am glad to see God moving in such a massive way. And what Clive and Bundy did was amazing. I know it has shocked even the people in the mainstream media if they actually cover it, because of refusing to be let go. And to me, that signifies that, hey, these guys came to the ranch in order to stand for me and my family, and to make sure that we didn't lose our lives. They saved our lives that day. Thus, I am now going to stand for them and make sure to try to save theirs. That's the way that I personally take that stand.
Yes.
And that's just an amazing testament of what type of person Mr. Bundy is. How old is he?
He is 71 years old.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
It is. It is.
That is amazing. So to update everyone, kind of a revamp, and you can just say yes or no, that way we can save your voice a little bit. So to revamp, Ammon Bundy will be released tomorrow morning at approximately 9 a.m.
Yes.
Judge Navarro has ordered Ammon Bundy to be released tomorrow. Approximately 9 a.m. Ryan Payne has also been ordered to be released. However, they're working things out with the bonding, and I believe that has to do with because of the situation out in Oregon. Is that correct, John?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And then, of course, Clive and Bundy was ordered to be released. However, he declined to be released because he stated that until all other, and this is not exact quote, but and he declined to be released until all the other political prisoners are released that has to do with the Bunkerville standoff. And he is actually a free man because he believes he is not guilty of anything. Why should he have to be under 24-hour surveillance, the very strict guidelines of what they're given to Ammon, for the simple fact he is innocent of all charges, and you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. So I am really excited. I cried today when I heard what was going on. I will be honest with you, John. I did find it amazing that, you know, they had that sealed hearing, as you said, which, of course, they won't call a court. It's, of course, not a private court, but it's a sealed hearing in their minds, you know. And it only included the attorneys and the defendants and their counsel were allowed to be in that hearing. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And then, of course, it came out more about the hidden evidence and everything else that was not disclosed. So Judge Navarro did order those releases. And I also heard that the courtroom was packed today.
Yes, we had people from all over show up. And I think some of them just wanted to observe and didn't realize what actually was going to happen today. So, but we were packed out. Lots of people here.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Now, I don't know if you know this, and I'm sure you do, because I just heard this today, but Shalise Finicum, which is Lavoie Finicum's daughter, she was speaking about the releases and waiting on hearing the finalization on whether they were going to be released or not. And she made a comment, and it made me grin and cry even more, that just for the blessings that God is really putting out our way, that Jeanette Finicum has finally made it through all the BLM bureaucratic junk, and approximately 2 weeks ago was able to put Lavoie Finicum's cattle back on his ranch.
That is right, yes.
So that I wasn't even aware of that, and as you know, I dig usually trying to find out stuff, but I was unaware of that. Do you have any knowledge of that situation?
I did. I heard about it. It is something that, with so much other things going on, I forgot to mention it, but I knew it had happened.
Wow, wow. Because what had happened, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, John, what had happened was, once Lavoie passed away, they didn't want to give her the death certificate, and they didn't want to make that where she could do the proper paperwork in order for the stuff to transfer over to her, for her to be able to continue doing and running the ranch, if I'm not mistaken. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yes.
John, okay. And then, Lori?
Yes.
You know, whenever Jeanette was here at the Bundy and Finicum remembrance with Roger Stone and others, I think there was a couple of other dignitaries that were there. I was there, and I imparted to Jeanette that the way to get out of that administrative quagmire, she was stuck in that revolving door of extortion of her money to try to get out of that administrative bullcrap, was that the murder of her husband was a Fifth Amendment takings violation, which vaults her to the Federal Circuit Courts of Appeals. I'm not sure if that had any effect on getting her out of that and getting the cattle back on the ranch, but I hope that it did. This is information I provide pro bono as a service to the Creator, as in Ezekiel 33:6, watcher on the wall.
Amen. Amen. So there's a lot of good news that has come out today. And I thoroughly
believe. Because, you know, before we let John before we let John Lamb go, I want it to be said that the witches don't usually get a change of heart. They hold the line and do their evil, and they very rarely change unless one thing, and that's public pressure. And I've been doing this for a while, and I can tell you right now, it is singularly the public pressure that has gotten the Bundys released to where they can at least go home and clean up and at least have more of an even playing field to defend themselves and assist their attorneys in defending them. So congratulations to all the people out there, from John Lamb to Lori Anderson to all the courtroom observers at the proceedings, Andrea Parker and the other young lady who reports as well. Her name escapes me, the other girl that you report with. And everybody who has called, sent emails, participated in the phone blitzing, and your voice does make a difference. They hear when 1,000 people call. Makes a big difference than when 10 people call. And the pressure on naming the Archbishop Pepe, which we did the other night, it did not hurt, because as soon as they could smell the heat coming to the vicars and the bishops, they tend to tell the lower witches, like Miss Navarro, sweep this up and make it go away, because it's getting really bad. The heat's building, and it's only because of all the people who were there, who were talking about it, broadcasting about it, and everybody involved. So thank you to everybody, especially you, John, who have kept this in the public eye. We couldn't count on InfoWars to do this. The silence is deafening over there. They have to be controlled and being told, don't cover this. I can't believe in anybody's right mind why, if they had a major news organization, they wouldn't have a crew there for this whole thing. This is epic. And we thank you so much, John, and everybody who's there. You know, hopefully some of your people there are listening to this broadcast. If not, spread our thanks and gratitude to them, to all the observers. Public pressure does make a difference. The witches' court will always cave in. If the public pressure is heavy enough, just a matter of when. Back to you, John and Lori.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm going to sign off for now, just because I'm just really under the weather a little bit here. But thanks for having me on, and we'll next time let me know, and I'll get back on here for you.
Well, John, thank you very much for coming on. Take care of yourself.
And by the way, I did share this with John in a text, an old trick that the opera singers use before they perform their opera, where they have to sing and really wear their voices out, is they take a teaspoonful of olive oil, and that coats the throat and does a fantastic job. So any broadcasters or people who have a long, enduring things with the voice, you know, also make sure your vitamin C's up, because your immune system's got to be strong. So, you know, keep that up. A lot of people I know, when it's activist time, the eating right and trying to stay on top of being healthy kind of goes by the wayside. That's got to be the most important thing at this time, because if your body and your mind are not functioning properly, you're not going to be a good, effective activist. So, you know, there's just a couple little tricks there as we go into the bottom of the hour. Please support the network. We appreciate John Lamb being with us. Thank you so much, John. Please be available later in the week if possible. And take care of your voice. Drink a lot of water, true. Rehydrating yourself is really going to help, because don't forget your body's over 90% water. And that's another thing I know people forget to do, especially out there in those warm climates like Nevada. So thanks again, John. We appreciate you being with us tonight. And we'll talk to you either tomorrow or the next day, whenever you're available.
Thank you again for having me on.
Okay, thank you, John. Bye. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Or you want to take us to break? Oh, here we go. We'll be right back. We'll be back in a minute or two. Stay with us. Please support the sponsors of this network. If you've got to buy something, why not buy it from someone who's down with RBN?
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1 877
1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Lori Anderson and Tom Lacovara and John Lamb and Chris in Las Vegas. I'm not sure if Gary's with us tonight. Gary, if you're with us, thanks for being so kind and patiently waiting in the... Yep, gotcha. No, it's... But, well, so anyway, what happened was not Mike's fault on the board. We got dumped. Oh, you know, I tend to think it's... I tend to think things are a little more orchestrated than not. When we get it to this level of activism and this level of exposure of the global world order and the Illuminists and the vicars, the bishops, the banking establishment, all the people behind the curtain as well, pulling the strings of the Judge Navarro, pulling the strings of the BLM, these things don't happen and organically, and I can guarantee you that this whole entire Bundy matter, the matter with Tom Lacovara, all of it. This is not happening organically, like, you know, one day to the next, and we'll see. These decisions are made in the back rooms, behind the scenes. They know where they're going with this. They, at points that are this epic, they do have to reevaluate and redo their plan every few days. or sometimes every few hours, depending on the level of how fast things are transpiring. And I can guarantee you that this judge is feeling the heat, not only from the public, which is us, the courtroom observers and the people who are patriots who are watching this and making our voices known, whether it's by email, letter, phone call, something. She's also, I guarantee, feeling the heat from the higher witches, the vicars, the bishops, and the people who steer the court, the executive services branch, so to speak, the ones that they're more of a lower executioner level. But we're talking about the bishop, the archbishop, has every means at his disposal to clean up this whole entire mess and start making things happen that'll kind of at least be somewhat closer to the right thing, which is let the witch's door to the witch's prison open up and let these men walk free. They've done nothing. Cliven Bundy hasn't hurt anybody. I mean, let's just look at the big picture here. Who has he hurt? And so I'm chewing up a few minutes here while Mike rounds up everybody, because everybody got dumped. I thought it was just me. We lost Lori. We lost Gary. We lost Chris. We lost, who do we got? Just come on in. I'm having a little trouble here, Mike. I got to turn my fan off and my dogs are playing.
Well, I have something to share with everyone, Eric. So I wanted to update on John Ritzheimer. If many people may or may not know who he is. He's a decorated Marine veteran. He did serve two different tours of duty in Iraq. He is going to be in the Portland, Oregon courtroom for sentencing tomorrow for his role in the Mount Huron National Wildlife Refuge protest that was standing up for the Hammonds that went on in January of 2016. So when we're updated with that, or I find out any information on that, I'll be sure to update everyone and get you that information. I also wanted to go back to something, because when Tom played those attorneys, let's remember, these attorneys are talking about this because so much pressure has been put on the whole fictitious narrative because of truth, because of exposing the truth, that so much pressure has been put on them. They were having to actually cover not only the Bundy standoff, but they were also having to cover jury nullification. Even though they did a lot of propaganda with it, the fact of the matter is they still had to talk about it. And that is what one of the most important things in that. We have forced them to talk about it. And they try to, of course, put their spin on it, and that's fine. But I've got a clip of a sheriff, and this is during the 2014 standoff. This is when this was going on. And Sheriff Rogers of Indiana was talking to Cliven Bundy. And I think it's very relevant to even kind of help dispute a little bit about what those attorneys that were twisting that narrative were saying.
Before you go to that clip, let me make a quick comment on the last clip, and then I won't have to, before you go to the next one, that one of the attorneys in that clip is a liar. One of the attorneys is a liar. One of them in particular was extra heavy on the liar when he said that it wasn't clear whether this, it wasn't clear, it really didn't seem that this was jury nullification here at the Bundy trial. The jurors came out of the courtroom, walked over to the, this is according to the people that were there. I'm pretty sure John Lamb is the one that reported this back to us. It was either him or one of the other observers that was there. We had him on the air, and they said, I'm sure it was John Lamb. He said the jurors came over after the trial and told the activists and the protesters, hey, we got the message on jury nullification. Thanks. It got through. Just wanted to let you know we did it. It worked. All set. Boom. Confirmed. Jury nullification was exercised, admittedly, by the jurors themselves. So whoever that attorney was in there is just a convenient lying piece of crap. I'm sorry about the language, but these people are so disgusting. I mean, they're destroying people's lives. Tom Lacovara has just been incarcerated for a year. Think about that. What were you doing for the last year, everybody out there? Tom was sitting in the witch's prison, sometimes in solitary, once again for hurting no one. So this is, if you forgive me, my language goes south a little once in a while, but really, we got to have some outrage here. What's going on? We've reached the bottom, absolute bottom of the barrel. And keep the pressure up, people, because I guarantee this witch Navarro is feeling the heat from all around. She's feeling the heat from the public. She's feeling the heat from the higher witches and the bishops. Don't want to hear any phone blitzing or any more talk about the pedophile, how much influence the Vatican has on your local court system, which it has all the influence over your local court system. And she's also, you know, she's going to, I mean, she's got to worry about everything. She's going to be on the, she's going to be basically disliked by pretty much everyone. I mean, even people in her family must wonder what is the level of psychopath behavior that would tell people, you know, the list, turn the pocket constitution around, hold your Bible below, don't cry in the courtroom, go hold them for a year and a half with no bond. And then we finally find the government's lying so much and proving it's so despicable in how they stack the deck against the defendant that even the witch herself is being forced to, and she's not deciding that she's going to do the right thing and coming around to the glory of God. Trust me, she's feeling the heat and only doing, it's like a typical criminal. They're only going to come around and look like they're, or say they're doing, you know, usually after they get caught, okay? So I don't give this witch too much credit that she's turning into a good witch, but I do see at least the public pressure is helping. I think it's starting to give. So back to you, Lori.
Sure. So as I was saying, I have a clip of a sheriff that was at the Bundy Ranch, and he was talking with Clive and Bundy. And I think his message is very important, and it needs to be heard, because the sheriff has a bit of experience when it comes to the unlawfulness of the federal government. And I would like for you to hear what he had to say on that day. Mike, if you would play that clip.
Jurisdiction authority here. Is that right?
I come out here to show support and affirm with the other people out here that really the Fed shouldn't be involved in it. It should be the sheriff.
That's right. Now, let me tell you, if I was in your county, I want to tell you how powerful you are. If I was in his county, he has constitutional jurisdiction, authority, policing power, and arresting power. And he has authority to put the handcuffs on you if we was in his county. Here, he don't have no authority.
What county are you from, Sheriff? From Elkhart County, Indiana.
Okay.
I traveled out here to...
Thank you for coming.
God bless
you,
brother.
Yeah. Now, I want to impress this on your mind. In his county, he has more of that authority we just talked about than the President of the United States. Did you know the President of the United States could come in his county and couldn't put handcuffs on anybody? And neither could the President's Army. Because the President and their Army don't represent we the people of that county. This man here has been elected and paid to protect our life, liberty, and property. Is that right?
That's right.
And very simple form of government. It's constitutional. Why is it constitutional? That's what our constitution laid out for us.
You know, sometimes that's we protect you from criminals, but sometimes we have to step in and protect you from government.
Well,
yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
There we go.
I haven't had that.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought I was going
to think maybe that's what they should do. Anyway, talk to these people a minute.
That's what I did in 2011. Food and Drug Administration came into my county and was harassing an Amish milk farmer for distributing raw milk, not against state statute, I might add. And the Department of Justice and Food and Drug Administration was trying to come in, and I said, I'm from the government. I have to abide by the Fourth Amendment, and so do you. I told him to get out, don't come back to this farmer's property, or I'll arrest you for trespass unless you come back to the farm.
Yes! Yeah! Yeah! I hear you. Hear that, Gillespie?
Yeah, Gillespie, you hear that?
Tell you who you represent in your position.
Well, I represent the people. You know, it's the sheriff is the highest elected law enforcement officer in the nation.
Yeah.
Everybody else is appointed.
And there you have it.
Lori.
Yes.
You know, Brad Rogers was out there with Tom Lacovara in the media mm-hmm. trailer. I was in there with him for quite a while. He's one of Richard Mack's Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually at the foundational organizational meeting.
They're cutting out.
Well, it's my voice cutting out, kind of like the same thing John Lamb's doing. I apologize.
That's fine. Get you some teaspoons of honey, and go ahead. Yep. You were there with the CSPOA. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Well, and for me to be in this situation is the most horrific miscarriage of justice. Vindictive, malicious, bad faith prosecution with utterly clean hands for retaliation for First Amendment protected freedom of speech, for having the audacity to try to hold these criminals here in this rogue state of Nevada and the county of Las Vegas, Clark County, to accountability for stealing, robbing, and attempted murder on my life. That's exactly what it was. And so this is what we're trying to fight against. And God bless Eric and his screaming about the witches' court and his jury nullification flyers, because they actually got out and had an effect, and that's part of the reason many of these men are walking out of prison right now to their own freedom. At least they're still, they may be in the process, but they have some restoration of freedom. And whenever you've lost it for that long, it makes you very, very aware of how valuable, totally invaluable, that concept of being a free man is on the land.
Mm-hmm. And just to reiterate what you were talking about, the resolution that the sheriffs take, what he's talking about, Sheriff Rogers, with the CSPOA.org, if you want to look them up. The resolution, I'm going to read it to you real quick. It's the resolution that's drafted by the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And I can tell you many sheriffs, including police officers, have signed on to this. And I know personally some of them that as soon as they went to those, and as soon as they signed on to this, they started getting browbeated tremendously by the government, trying to get them out of there. And in a minute, you'll understand why, if you haven't heard this before. So it says, pursuant to the powers and duties bestowed upon us by our citizens, the undersigned do hereby resolve that any federal officer, agent, or employee, regardless of supposed congressional authorization, is required to obey and observe limitations consisting of the enumerated powers as detailed within Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The people of these United States are and have right to be free and independent, and these rights are derived from the laws of nature and nature's God. As such, they must be free from infringements on the right to keep and bear arms, unreasonable search and seizures, the various detainments and infringements on every other natural right, whether enumerated or not, Ninth Amendment. We further reaffirm that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited it by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people, Tenth Amendment. Furthermore, we maintain that no agency established by the U.S. Congress can develop its own policies or regulations which will supersede the Bill of Rights or Constitution, nor does the executive branch have the power to make law, overturn law, or set aside law. Therefore, in order to protect the American people, be it resolved that the following abuses will not be allowed or tolerated. Number one, registration of personal firearms under any circumstances. Number two, confiscation of firearms without probable cause, due process, and constitutionally compliant warrants issued by a local or state jurisdiction. Number three, audits or searches of a citizen's personal affairs or finances without probable cause and due process and constitutionally compliant warrants issued by a local or state jurisdiction. Number four, inspections of person or property without probable cause and constitutionally compliant warrants as required by the Fourth Amendment and issued by local or state jurisdiction. The detainment or search of citizens without probable cause and proper due process compliance, or the informed consent of the citizen. Number six, arrest with continued incarcerations without charges and complete due process, including but not limited to public and speedy jury trials, in a court of state or local jurisdiction. Number 7, domestic utilization of our nation's military or federal agencies operating under power granted under the laws of war against American citizens. Number 8, arrest of citizens or seizure of persons or property without first notifying and obtaining the express consent of the local sheriff. And be it further resolved that the undersigned sheriffs, peace officers, public servants, and citizens do hereby denounce any acts or agencies which promote the aforementioned practices. All actions by the federal government and its agents will conform strictly and implicitly with the principles expressed within the United States Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. There is no greater obligation or responsibility of any government officer than to protect the rights of the people. Thus, any conduct contrary to the United States Constitution, Declaration of Independence, or Bill of Rights will be dealt with as criminal activity. So, and as okay, you so know...
Now, I've read that before. That's out of the Oath Keepers Manual, right?
No, it is not. This is CSPOA, dear.
Oh, constitutional sheriff. That's what I meant. Here's the thing. First of all, the whole thing with the seizure of guns or fire confiscation of a... How about the confiscation of any property? I'm more worried
they
about...
They said that.
I'm more worried about someone's house getting confiscated as much, if not more, than their guns. And I don't see some of these organizations being as eager to keep people in their homes when the county comes to steal their land. What's good's your gun going to do when they steal your land in your house? You're going to use it to stand there and shoot the cops when they come seize your land? Because there was a probable cause and a due process and a constitutionally compliant warrant issued by a corrupt local court under a corrupt Masonic sheriff. Let me finish. Go ahead.
I have to jump in real quick because I only have a second here, okay? Let me tell you something a little about CSPOA and about Sheriff Brad Rogers. Let me tell you a little story real quick. You want to talk about property. It's a good point. Very good point. There was a...
Rogers is good. I have a little more...
No. Well, Rogers... Yeah, but Rogers is one of the prime examples of... And we'll share tomorrow night. I'll send you a clip so you can review it. We'll share with our audience a whole group, a room full of these sheriffs. It's not just guns they're talking about. It's property. And let me give you a specific incident. There was an Amish farmer, milk producer, who had the FDA.
Wisconsin. Yep. I know the story.
Came out and right.
Sure. He stood.
And Sheriff Rogers told him.
Great.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, it's all about education, and the one reason that I really get behind and I believe in the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and what they're trying to do is because they reach out to sheriffs and they educate. I mean, a lot of these sheriffs don't even know their true power, their true potential. You know, I mean, different parts of the country, people have been propagandized mode to just, you know, obey. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little blank spot. You blanked out for about 5 seconds, and I just wanted to make sure we didn't lose you.
I just wanted to throw that in because many of those other sheriff, Glenn Palmer, out there, they were talking about, you know, property rights, not just firearms. Firearms is a key to protect the property, but they're talking about all of the above. I just wanted to clarify that before I jump in.
That's
out
awesome.
Again. Sorry,
I know there's a lot of good guys in that organization. They leave a little too much room open for a corrupt local court to issue an unlawful order, and if there's due process, you know, by quote unquote, and I use that in quotes, you know, the due process can mean almost anything or a lack of it. And so I've noticed that it's not so much the sheriffs that Tom was mentioning. It's more a little bit Sheriff Mack is a little too eager to not face the reality that your local courts are as corrupt, if not more corrupt, usually more than the higher courts.
Yeah, but one of the sheriffs at a Liberty actually backed up the people. He refused to. One of the deputies had taken a person with a gun, put him in, and he ended up in jail fought it and won it, but he himself ended up in jail for protecting one of the citizens' rights. So we have to remember, it's not all of them, and we have to focus on the solution, and that is the solution.
Right. Well, the sheriffs are going to have to start talking among themselves, because do you know that the great majority of the sheriffs nationwide, and there's over 3,100 counties, are Masons, either actively, formerly, because I had one sheriff try to tell me he's not currently a member. You're in forever in the Masons, or if you're out and you leave, you're on their hit list. Trust me, I've seen it happen. Retributions are all over the place. Lori was just mentioning retribution before to all the sheriffs who are signing up for constitutional duty. So anyway, until we remove the Masonic, and I'll tell you how you can find the Masonic connection in your sheriff department, go online or go down and talk to the sheriff yourself and ask him, what relationship have you had with the Masons in the Child ID program and the Masonic chip, Masonichip? It's all over the internet. They do it at county fairs. They have it at school. They have it everywhere you turn. There's the Masons working in conjunction with the local sheriff department, the national, the defense, the Department of Defense, the Department of Homeland Security, and a whole bunch of other agencies in there. And they're right up on the internet admitting that they do this, and they want to microchip the children. And Sean Hannity, by the way, was all for this. You can see him on YouTube. And this is why the Sean Hannitys are the most dangerous. They're worse than the Al Frankens. They're worse than the Hillary Clintons, because they make people think they're conservative, that they're patriots. And then all of a sudden, when it's crucial on that one issue, and for Sean Hannity, it was him absolutely supporting the microchipping of children for their own safety, of course, to track them and trace them wherever they go. So anyway, until the Masons are removed from anything to do with your local sheriff's department, you might as well forget the constitutional sheriff thing. You might as well stop right there. That's your litmus test. Is your local sheriff working with the Masons in the Child ID program, or anything to do with the Masonic chip, and anything to do with trying to get their hands on somebody else's children? Hello? With that, we got to go. Time to split, and we'll be back tomorrow. I want to thank Gary for waiting. We'll have Gary up tomorrow with some more time. We had Tom on tonight. Of course, you know, we want to hear as much from Tom as we can when he has the limited time that he has. Thanks for joining us. Support the network. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, John Lamb. Thank you, Mike, on the board. You're more than miracle. We appreciate your patience with us. And we also thank Mike Herzog and John Stantmiller. We'll see you tomorrow on the RBN Network. I am Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Follow us on Freedom Scream Radio. Just type in your search engine, Freedom Scream Radio, and please spread a link.